The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
On Thursday, we premiere our next 30 for 30 film, Al Davis versus the NFL, with a look at one of the greatest NFL rivalries between the former Raiders owner and the former NFL commissioner, Pete Rozelle, who clashed for three decades. That's 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. You'll see it on ESPN and the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you to another hour of Get Up. We are always live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 in snowy New York City. We are jam-packed as we are counting down the days, 5 days and counting to Super Sunday. And there's a ton of football to get to. Let's roll it. Time to get up with Aaron Rodgers. He has a former teammate who's telling the world exactly what the superstar quarterback really wants to hear. Don't miss it. It's right off the top. Then Deshaun desires to get out of Houston. Let's make a deal on what will be the biggest trade in NFL history. We've got the very latest. And then we've got Bad Blood, a former Patriot throwing serious shade at Bill Belichick. You'll hear from Brady. You'll hear from Gronk. You'll hear it all as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now with the biggest storyline heading into the NFL offseason, which is the future of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Let's start with the Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst and their head coach Matt LaFleur, who yesterday addressed that very topic.
I don't think I have to do a lot of assuring him, because I think obviously his play speaks for itself. But I will say this, we're really excited, not only for next year, but the years to come. I mean, he's playing at such a high level that he always has. You know, this year was a special year. It didn't finish like we wanted to finish, but I think everybody's, you know, purely, you know, motivated to get back. And I think, like I said, I don't think there's anything that we have to do. He's our quarterback and he's our leader.
Absolutely. He will be here for a long time. I know I said that before, but for a long time.
So that's what they said. Then there's this from former Packers offensive lineman T.J. Lang, who was a teammate of Rodgers. He said, I don't think he wants to go anywhere, but I think he's going to hold their feet to the fire and say, hey, if you're going to keep me around, you're going to pay me, and you're going to bring in some players that I want to play with where we can take this next leap. And so as we bring this conversation out, there's been a lot of talk about this, and I think it's important to frame it a certain way. It's not so much about Aaron Rodgers saying, I want more money, as it is, I believe, it is about Aaron Rodgers, if indeed that is what he wants, looking for some guarantee that they're not ready to move on from him at the time that they basically said they would. Like the general manager said, I don't think I have to do a lot of assuring him. I'm not sure that's right. And Marcus Spears, we just had a conversation about how quarterback controversies don't work. Quarterbacks aren't built for that kind of thing. Aaron Rodgers is a legendary quarterback whose team just traded up to take a guy in the first round. Maybe he does need someone assuring him of some things.
I hate to think that, though, G. Like, I hate to think that Aaron Rodgers needs reassuring. Aaron Rodgers' place is pretty set in the NFL, and that would be, in my opinion, small of Aaron Rodgers to need assurance from the Green Bay Packers. Guess what else? If the Green Bay Packers didn't want Aaron Rodgers, it'll be a whole lot of other teams that'll be ready to assure him he's still that dude. Look, the Jordan Love draft to me represents one thing that we're watching transpire right now in Pittsburgh, is that you want to try to get ahead of who that guy will be when you replace the stalwart that's been at that position for a long time. Let's not get it twisted. Aaron Rodgers, 37. And I know we watching Tom Brady play at 43, and I know now we thinking that's the trend for quarterbacks, that they going to play this amount of time, and Matt Stafford just signed a deal just was traded into his 30s. All that is fine and well. But these franchises and organizations have a responsibility, too, to be set up for after that guy leaves. And obviously, like, here's the thing, all right? If you say that the Green Bay Packers need players or they need something else to get over the hump, what is it? Somebody tell me, what do they need? They had the number one offensive line. They had the best quarterback, well, one of the top three quarterbacks in the league. They had one of the best receivers in the NFL. Defense came along at the end of the season, started playing at a high level. If you want to be mad at Mike Pettine. Be mad at certain situations in those games. I don't know what Green Bay needs. A playmaker, what they need. They looking for luxury. What they need is nothing. They need Aaron Rodgers to convert in the red area and score a touchdown. They need to figure out a way to get more plays and give them a shot on fourth down possibly. I don't know what else the Green Bay Packers need. I need somebody to tell me that.
I think that Aaron Rodgers says saying I can he tell needs you. Assurance that they're, Jeff Saturday, not just going to decide. They're not going to decide when he's done. Like, the one thing he's trying to do, it seems to me, is take control of his situation. There's a lot of quarterbacks changing teams right now. A lot of places he might be interested in going. And if he's going to leave open the window for the Packers just to decide next year, all right, now we've decided we're going to move on from you, I think he's saying, not so fast, my friend. Maybe I'm going to be a part of that decision as well. That would make sense to me. Jeff, how about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he gets another contract. I think he is to Swagoo's point about the Jordan Love draft is, hey, you're saying I'm going to be here a long time. Well, put your money where your mouth is. But even ahead of that, when Swagoo's like, what do they need? How about a true two outside of Adams, right? How about make it easier? He wants the embarrassment of riches that you look at when you look at Kansas City's offense or when you look – offense, right? When you have three or four different receivers who go make things and a tight end who can go do this and a guy can go do this, he wants those same opportunities. And say whatever you want. Like, when you're a quarterback in the position he is, he can demand it and get it. And the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row is not enough for him. He's only won one Super Bowl. We've talked about how many championship games he's lost. He wants to go be that champion. The only way he feels like he can get there is to have more control. Those are the things he wants that are different. It's going to have to get off of Green Bay's script and their plan. And I know Dan will talk about, they always have this plan. Well, forget your plan. Let's ride in 5 years together. Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, all this. Let's make it happen. But you got to show me that you committed to me.
Dan, play it out. How does this go?
I think we're going to find out, Greeny, if the Packers do make an adjustment to Aaron Rodgers' contract to guarantee more money or extend it or whatever this offseason, then you'll know that they're doing what T.J. Lang is suggesting, rewarding him for an MVP season, committing to him long-term, and changing the plan. But if they don't, then they're keeping their options open, as they were when they drafted Jordan Love. Marcus Spears makes a lot of sense. I mean, the Packers are a big-picture thinking organization. Only one team has played more postseason games than them this century. It's the Patriots. Only two teams have won more postseason games than they have this century. It's the Patriots, and the Steelers have only won one more. The Packers believe in their plan. They have plenty of evidence to back it up. A true number two. I mean, Jeff, do you mean other than the guy who caught a 50-yard touchdown pass in the NFC Championship game? I don't know what more they want to give Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, I promise we're coming back to this, Marcus. I promise. At the end of the show, we will come back to this. I will let you say everything you want to say. But right now, we have been waiting for this moment. It is time for a full season's worth of pancakes.
Set them down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw them out the club. Swagoo, throw them out the club. You see them? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes.
Ooh. All right, if you are new to this, no one loves anything like Jeff Saturday loves big blocks. And so, as we now look back on an entire football season, Jeff is going to hand out the pancakes of the year. Take it away, Jeff.
Oh, we're going to start with a running back. Little tear to my eye. We're going to incorporate him into the O-line group. Watch this.
Oh my
goodness. Derrick Henry, get some of that action. I mean, he just takes Norman and dunks. And look, Norman's upside down like a beetle, just looking for who he can grab. That's a big man throw right there. Derrick Henry, welcome to the club of offensive lines. We're going to induct you in. That's that pancake. He gets the one pancake of the year for that right there. That thing is a thing of beauty. Number two, Armstead. Derek. New Orleans Saints. I want y'all to watch. Just watch and let the tears roll down your face like they do. Oh, my goodness. Swagoo, what do you think you're thinking as a defensive lineman when that dude's taking you on that train ride and then dumping you in the end zone, baby?
I'm looking up at the Jumbotron trying to figure out if my mama saw that, Jeff.
That's two pancakes for that beautiful block. Put him in the end zone. And listen, this is the best. This is the best of the year, y'all. Get ready.
Choo-choo. Oh, Lord.
My word. I thought we had our first. He ran a moat. I thought he's done. Like, that's career done, bro. Best block you're ever going to have. Trent Williams should have taken the helmet off, put it in the shoes, and just walked off and been like, hey, man, it don't get better than this. Probably the best block, most vicious. That is a full-on double stack. He should have laced up the shoes, put the helmet on there. Men, it's been good. I'm out. That's such a pretty block. Best in the business.
Yeah. They do that at Olympic wrestling, right? You, they Jeff. Leave the shoes in the ring and they're done. Marcus, what do you feel as you watch those?
I'm still trying to figure out what the hell that Arizona linebacker was thinking. We playing football out here, bro. It's other men out here trying to hit each other, and he just sitting in the middle of the field looking while Trent about
awareness.
To kill him. And by the way, Trent got a crackback block on me. We should never show that tape, but it's out there, just saying.
Oh. Okay, and I am immediately putting in the request for that tape. As we continue,
yes.
Get up this
next
morning.
Week.
Coming up, one of Tom Brady's favorite receivers in New England has taken a shot at Bill Belichick. You will hear it on the way. Plus, Deshaun desires to get out of Houston. So what could stop the biggest deal in history from happening? We'll answer that question and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and the news is this. Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow this morning. That means 6 more weeks of winter. And we can turn anything into a segment here. So let's do our Groundhog Day NFL edition. Jeff, Saturday, let's talk about one of the big stories in the sport. Are we going to get 6 more weeks of wondering about Aaron Rodgers? Jeff.
Absolutely not. Everybody in the organization has gone out of their way to tell everyone. Mark Murphy has said we'd be idiots to let him go. The GM says we don't need to assure him. The head coach said he'll be here for a long time. Everybody understand who Aaron Rodgers is. No chance. No more talk. We know Aaron's going to be there. Just how big is his contract going to be?
Okay, that was good. Dan Graziano, you're next. Are we going to get 6 more weeks of no long-term deal for Dak?
I think we are, yes. Look, we're 5 weeks away from the deadline by which they would have to franchise him. There may not be clarity on the salary cap by then, and if that's an issue in terms of working out the structure of the deal, they'll have to wait till they have that. So, yes, I do think we're at least 6 more weeks of that, which is good. If we don't have Aaron Rodgers to talk about, at least we'll have that.
Okay, fair enough. And then there's Deshaun Watson. Swagoo, do we have 6 more weeks of a standoff between Watson and the Texans?
Listen, G, the Texans they don't want to acknowledge that the damn groundhog said it's going to be 6 more weeks of winter. They don't want to acknowledge that. Deshaun keep telling them it's going to – Deshaun is the groundhog for the people that in the back. Secondly, look, he going to spring on they behind if they keep playing games. But they don't want to acknowledge it. Winter is here. Houston Texans, the groundhog has told you winter is here. You better prepare yourself for the spring.
Yeah, it is the winter of his discontent, and a nice job by Ryan Staloff. Was that really a groundhog? I'm not sure. Where does one find a groundhog full-body emoji? One way or another, I liked it. So let's come to you, Graziano. What is the latest on Deshaun Watson here? It's been quiet for the last 12 hours. It makes me nervous.
Well, no, it has. I mean, Houston doesn't want to trade him, right? I mean, like, the idea is that Deshaun doesn't want to be there anymore, and he's made that clear, and that's where we are. But Houston is not telling people when they call, oh, yeah, this will be the price. They're telling people we don't want to trade him. Now, the question becomes, will they be forced to trade him? And the way that he would force them to do that is to show them and prove to them that he's willing to sit out, not just training camp, but actual games. They can certainly fine him for missing training camp days and obviously for actual games. But until they're convinced he won't play for them, then they're not inclined to move off of their position. So it could be a while. I agree. I think we're looking at at least six more weeks of this particular winter.
Yeah, Punxsutawney Phil is not looking kindly upon Houston right now. Jeff Saturday, what do you think of all this? We see the beginning of the quarterback carousel with the big trade over the weekend. How does that inform what you think will happen with Watson?
I mean, when I saw what happened with Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford, I thought, I mean, what could happen for Deshaun Watson? Like, are you going to trade away 10 players and some kind? Like, how could you quantify how important and valuable this guy is? I mean, you're talking about Tunsil, a tackle, got multiple picks. Jamal Adams, multiple picks, right? You're talking about Khalil Mack version. There's so much involved in this trade-type scenario for a player of his caliber. It's just mind-boggling to me. I don't even understand how you could put it in one offer to trade. If you're the Houston Texans, of course you're not fielding any calls. I would turn my phone off. I don't want anybody calling me to even tempt me, because you're committing professional suicide if he goes somewhere and wins championships. Everybody in the business is going to look at you and go, how could you do something that dumb? You have one of the premier players in the NFL in his early 20s, and he has shown you what type of leader he is. Can't let him out of your building. I'm just telling you, whatever you got to do, you better make him happy, because he can't leave.
But Marcus, you made it clear. I mean, and Deshaun has made it clear from everything everyone tells us, that he has made it clear to them. He's not coming back. He's not returning their calls. So, Marcus Spears, how does this play out?
It plays out with Deshaun playing for another team. Like, I like Jeff's optimism. I don't like the fact that he's being optimistic, though. Deshaun Watson out of there. Look, Houston has already savaged this relationship. This ain't about Deshaun Watson reconciling anymore. It's about getting out of there. And I get it. The Houston Texans are in a terrible situation, because every year on this show, we gonna talk about generational talents and you need to find a quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback, you can't win games. But think about this for a second, y'all. Some kind of way the Houston Texans alienated the best thing that's happened to their franchise in history, right? Since ever. And they figured out a way to alienate him. He out of there, man. It is beyond repair.
Yep. There's some soul searching that needs to be done with that, for sure. But in the interim, they need to figure out where they're going on into their future. We have much more. I'll tell you where we're going. We're going to talk about another quarterback, and it's Dak in Dallas. Graziano's been making some phone calls. The sides are talking. What does that mean? And wait till you see what his brother posted on Twitter. So Graziano will have that, and he will take his shot at this from Sneaky Hembo. Here we go. Which Super Bowl champion had the worst regular season record? That's the question Graziano tries to answer next. You're watching Get Up. Oh, he looks like he's
hot it. You insult me with this question.
Oh, let's see. Let's see if he's right next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, here we go. Dan Graziano seems to think he's got this one easy. Which Super Bowl champion, we need the team and the year, had the worst regular season record? Dan.
Greeny, on Christmas Eve 2011, the New York Giants were 7-7. They played the Jets. You remember this. Victor Cruz went 99 yards for a touchdown. They beat the Cowboys the next week to finish 9-7, win the division, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. The New York Giants of 2011 at 9-7 are the easy answer to this question for someone who covered every single one of those games.
You are a machine. That is correct. I actually spoke to Hembo during the break. He thought you might guess the 07 Giants who went 10-6. Well done, Graziano. And so we take a look at the scoreboard right now for this calendar year. Hembo 6, Graziano 6. And again, that includes the Norm Van Brocklin question, which was unfair. Coming up, we've got bad blood. A former Patriot throws serious shade at Bill Belichick. You'll hear all about it next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Well, looking forward to this. Thursday night, we premiere our next 30 for 30 film. It's called Al Davis versus the NFL. It looks at one of the great rivalries the league and the sport have ever seen between the former Raiders owner and the former NFL commissioner, Pete Rozelle. They clashed for 3 decades. It debuts 9 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, back to this. Another year, another Super Bowl for Tampa Tom Brady, the 10th of his career. But, of course, it's the first as a Buccaneer, the first without Bill Belichick. Brady talked about the impact that Belichick had on his career at Media Day yesterday.
And I certainly could never have accomplished the things in my career without his support and his teachings and incredible coach and mentor for me.
I mean, I've always had a great relationship with Bill, but ever since I got to the Bucs, there just hasn't been any contact at all.
So there are those. And then there's this. Brady's former teammate, Danny Amendola, did not sing the same praises about Bill that Brady did. Quite the opposite. Here's what he said.
When you see Patriot Way in the dictionary, it's going to have Tom Brady's name next to it. None of those coaches threw any passes. None of those coaches caught any passes. They got guys in the right position because they watch a lot of film and they spend all their time at the facility. But Tom Brady is the Patriot way, and that's the reason why Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now, and the Patriots aren't.
So that is what he said. Jeff, Saturday, what is your initial reaction to Danny Amendola?
Danny Amendola's high. That's my reaction. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he's living. I don't know what he's doing in his offseason. But to take away those championships and give them all to Tom Brady is a little bit silly. I'm not sure. Was Tom Brady on the field when Malcolm Butler made that interception to stop? Oh, I'm sorry. He wasn't there, right? Okay. It took an entire football team. Listen, this is an and question. It was Belichick and Tom Brady is the reason they were so successful. If you look at this entire organization, he built it. Those defenses I personally played when they held our offense to 3 points, the greatest show on turf, they hold them down. I mean, look at how many games they have won. Do you need a great quarterback? Absolutely. You need a great staff, all those hours Amendola's talking about being there. There's a reason that team won so many games, and it wasn't because of one person. It was because of the couple, the relationship of Belichick and Brady. That's why they were the gold standard for the NFL for all those years.
Look, there's been a lot of reaction to this. And Marcus, reasonably speaking, you could have a conversation about whether the coaching is more important or the players are more important. That could be in any circumstance. That's a reasonable discussion to have. To use it to diminish what Belichick has accomplished, I think, is what has created a lot of people's problems. You want to say the quarterback is more important than the coach? Fine. That seems like a reasonable opinion. But to use it to try and take anything away, Marcus, from what Bill Belichick has accomplished is what I think is rubbing a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah, no doubt, G. When you phrase it like that, it's disrespectful to Bill Belichick and the rest of that coaching staff and also to other players. Like, we made this thing about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. But I love the fact I love the fact that me and Jeff Saturday are on here to remind everybody about these New England teams and the guys that played on these teams and sometimes defense being a catalyst. Here's my thing. This is the point I get to. When it comes to Brady and Belichick, all right, just them specifically, I'm not talking about the rest of the New England Patriots. I always lean more towards players because they have to do the executing. They have to actually go out and make that plan work. There is no great coach in the history of any sport that does not have great players tied to them. Guys that do things beyond what they could coach. That's one thing that's synonymous with every coach
right.
that has had a tremendous amount of success is that they've had players go above what they coach. Now, the other part of it is, when Amendola says that, it's obviously a vendetta against the coaching staff and a vendetta against Bill Belichick because everybody knows that both of these guys are responsible. I don't believe equally. I believe Brady is more responsible for that part of it. But I understand what Jeff is saying, and I understand how you posed that question. And obviously, Bill Belichick has a lot to do with the amount of success that New England has had.
Yeah, I was literally scrolling through all of the Packers players from the 1960s who were in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I couldn't get to the end in the time that you were talking. That's how many of them there are. So are we going to take that away from Vince Lombardi? At the end of the day, Dan Graziano, it seems to me there are two different debates we can have. You want to debate whether the coach or the quarterback is inherently more important. That's reasonable. To try and suggest that Belichick is anything other than an all-time great coach does not seem reasonable to me.
No, I think you have Danny Amendola here taking out some revenge for all those times Belichick made him run that hill after practice, right? All these guys, it's hard to play for the Patriots, and maybe leave some scars. But look, Belichick, not just as a coach, but as a roster builder, I mean, that's his great accomplishment. You have a team that's dominated the sport for 20 years in a salary cap era. So, yeah, obviously finding the greatest quarterback of all time in the sixth round, huge part of that, but it all works together. There's no doubt about it.
I count 10 Packers from the Lombardi 60s teams that are currently in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So he obviously didn't do that by himself either. Okay, we are working our way, 5 days away from Super Bowl 55. So as we go on the clock, we're going to ask each of our guys today for their favorite Super Bowl memories. Graziano, I'm starting with you. What do you remember from Super Bowl 47 Ravens and 49ers? 30 seconds. Let's hear it.
Well, I remember the lights going out in the Superdome in the third quarter. That was pretty weird. We really didn't know what to do. Are we supposed to leave? Are we in trouble of some sort? Are they coming back on? Will the game resume? Yeah, that was one that stands out for me. Obviously, you see the looks on the players' faces. They weren't too sure about what to do either. But, the Superdome lights going out. Remember, the Niners came back and scored like 17 straight points. Ray Lewis has a conspiracy theory that the league turned the lights off on purpose. That one lingers for me in my memory.
I see that being one of the most indelible memories. Hard to picture that being your favorite memory of a Super Bowl, but okay, we will accept it. Jeff Saturday, yours predictably comes from Super Bowl 41 because you were on the team that won that Super Bowl. What's your favorite memory? Go.
Just the way we ran the football against them, Greeny. You know, we've been told all year that, you know, we were a finesse football team, and we go play that vaunted Bears defense in the rain, weather, all kinds of issues, and we ran it right at them. Had almost 200 yards rushing, a buck 90, and, blocking Urlacher, Briggs, you name it. Man, that was a heck of a defense. But when we walked off with a buck 90 rushing. I know everybody gets MVPs, all those kind of things. That O-line that day, man, we felt pretty good about ourselves. So I'd say when I had my son on my shoulders, walking that thing off with my wife, we knew the O-line did their part.
That's a great one. Let's see if we can top that. Marcus Spears, I'm told yours is from Super Bowl 44. 30 seconds, let's hear it.
Well, being that I never played in one, so Jeff actually has the best story, but I will say this, man. The Super Bowl provides, right, for a lot of players. So my Super Bowl memory is signing, having an autograph session and making 10 grand at the Fountain Blue Hotel. It was a blast. It was so many people there. It was a great time. We had music. We had drinks. We had a DJ. I went in and signed autographs. And right after the autographs, I partied. That's the greatest Super Bowl memory I ever had. I didn't go to many, G. I didn't go to many. So that one, that's the great. I made some money, and I had the party of my life with some of my boys. Greatest Super Bowl memory.
Everybody remembers these games their own way.
It changes the answer. What? I said, I didn't know we could talk about the parties. That changes my answer. I gotta go through a whole bunch of menu.
Okay, well put. Super Bowl again, 5 days away. Meanwhile, let me get up and go here through some of the other news that we have. And it begins with last night's game between the Pistons and Nuggets. It was postponed minutes before its start time due to contact tracing within the Pistons. Sources telling Woj the Pistons returned a positive slash inconclusive test on a player. So we'll see where that goes from here. Baseball, the Cardinals completed their blockbuster trade to acquire Nolan Arenado from the Rockies. Colorado also sending $50 million to the Cardinals to help pay him. Pitcher Austin Gomber and four prospects also going back to the Rockies. And Major League Baseball's players have rejected a proposal to delay both the start of spring training and the regular season due to the coronavirus pandemic, meaning at this point, both will start on time. Opening day is scheduled for April 1st. And then there was this very disturbing story from yesterday. Five women who work in sports media have accused former Mets manager Mickey Callaway of inappropriate and harassing behavior. According to The Athletic, Callaway, who is now the Angels pitching coach, sent shirtless photos and requested nude pictures over a five-year period, including his time as manager of the Mets and as pitching coach of the Indians. Callaway told The Athletic, quote, "Any relationship in which I was engaged has been consensual, and my conduct was in no way intended to be disrespectful to any of the women involved. I am married, and my wife has been made aware of these general allegations." The allegations come just 2 weeks after ESPN reported on a string of explicit, unsolicited text messages by now former Mets general manager Jared Porter sent to a female reporter. Major League Baseball, the Indians, and the Angels have announced they plan to launch an investigation into this. We will take a short break, and as we continue, back to football news. Is Dak Prescott feeling disrespected by the Cowboys? You'll hear from him and from his brother as we continue next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Lift every voice and sing.
On February 4th, 2007, Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith became the first African-American head coaches to coach in the Super Bowl, with Dungy's Colts taking on Lovie's Bears. In a game which also featured a legendary halftime performance by Prince, Peyton Manning led the Colts to a 29-17 victory, winning the Colts' first title in 36 years.
Here's our Wednesday NBA doubleheader coming your way on ESPN. Two of the top teams in the East will square off with the Pacers taking on Giannis and the Bucks, and that's followed by Devin Booker and Chris Paul and the Suns taking on Zion and the Pelicans. That's coming your way Wednesday night. You can watch on ESPN or on the ESPN app. And with that, I welcome you back to our studios. Greeny here. Get up on ESPN with you commercial-free for the next 14 minutes. And that's when First Take will take over at the top of the hour, and they will be busy. Should Tom Brady be playing past 45 years old? Should that be taken seriously? We'll answer that. Plus, George Kittle and Stone Cold Steve Austin will join the show. Stephen A., Max, and Molly are coming up next. Again, we're commercial-free between now and then. And Dan Graziano, I'm coming to you. Let's run the hurry up. There's some reporting out there connecting the 49ers to Kirk Cousins. What can you tell us?
It's good dot connecting. I mean, there's a relationship there between Cousins and Kyle Shanahan from their time together in Washington. So if the Minnesota Vikings wanted to try and get out of that contract, and if the 49ers want to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, as his contract would allow them to do quite easily, it would make sense to see a reunion like that. So I don't think that's outrageous speculation at all. Let's pivot to the Super Bowl. We have two Kansas City Chiefs players, Daniel Kilgore and DeMarcus Robinson, placed on the COVID-19 reserve list as high-risk close contacts of a non-player who tested positive. They should be back in time for the game if they continue to test negative all week, but it's a reminder as we get closer that we're not all the way out of the woods yet on this situation that has obviously dominated this season and the past year. And speaking of things that dominate our discussions, Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys still do not have a long-term deal in place. This is the same issue we dealt with last year and the year before. The Cowboys will have until March 9th to franchise him, which I fully expect them to do if they don't have a deal in place by that time. The two sides have talked but haven't made any significant progress. Part of the problem is nobody knows what the salary cap's going to be this year, and you can't really structure long-term deals around it until you know that figure. So I would think we have some more time to discuss Dak Prescott in the coming weeks and maybe months.
So Dak, as you say, is talking to the Cowboys. His brother is actually communicating with the world. He had an interesting comment on a post here that was a snapshot, as you see, of Jared Goff. The caption says, with Jared Goff being sent to Detroit, every quarterback in the 2016 draft class, besides Dak Prescott, has been cut, traded, or benched. And Dak's brother, Tad, quote tweeted it and wrote, so the guy who was never supposed to make it is now the last one standing. Let that sink in. And so, Dan, as you sort of run through all the details for us here, Marcus, this is just, I don't know if I want to call it the gift that keeps on giving or the guest that just won't leave, whatever it is, this story just does not go away. And I see that your frustration with it just continues to mount every time it comes up.
Gee, because you can see the issue. Like, you can clearly see the issue. And look, for Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, there is something that Dallas can look at and say, hey, these guys got paid early and it didn't pan out, all intents and purposes. People have to remember, though, Carson Wentz and Jared Goff were first-round picks. Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick. Dak Prescott, for a quarterback situation, has not made a lot of money. He's been so underpaid based on his production. That's the frustrating part for me. That's the frustrating part for me when it comes to that should get paid. And I get it. Like, I understand that the years was the issue and the stickler. But the bottom line is this. And I'm going to say it till I'm blue in the face. I'm going to say it till I'm done with television. You don't have issues with your starting quarterback who you deem to be the franchise guy. That just doesn't happen. For 3 years, it does not happen. So there's some apprehension that's been created by the Dallas Cowboys on signing Dak Prescott. You could tell me, yeah, they offered him and they had a deal on it. You could tell me all of that. And Dak obviously wanted a 4-year deal as opposed to a 5. I'm still hard pressed to find the organization with a quarterback that they feel like is their guy going forward in the future that's taken 3 cycles to get a deal done. And we may be sitting here talking about this after this period is over as well.
There's really only one example of it in history, and that was Washington and the way they handled Kirk Cousins. And I think the belief was that they were not committed to him at all, which is what makes us
they
suspicious. But Jeff Saturday, it also has you thinking about how that worked out for Kirk Cousins.
Oh, it's a thing of beauty. If I'm Dak Prescott, I'm going to keep Kirk Cousins him to death, man. Bam! I'm going to get him for 37. Bam! Going to get him for 40. I'm going to keep pushing that number up. And then when there is a team who's committed to me, I'm going to go take that offer. Or I'm going to make Dallas pay exactly what I want, exactly the amount of years I want, and I'm going to use this leverage. Like, people forget that the early part of the season when he was playing before he got hurt, he's lighting up the scoreboard. The team absolutely tanked after he couldn't play anymore. This guy has shown in every vein of football, on the field, off the field, community, you name it, he is the guy you want to be your franchise quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. They could have gotten the deal done. The reason that Swaggoo's saying he's hard-pressed to find, because it don't happen. You get your guy. When you want your guy, you negotiate with your guy, even if you got a bend. It's why it's called negotiation. You lose a year, but ultimately you have the right guy. That's the way this thing works. It just hadn't gone right. Dak needs to stick to his guns.
And I will call your attention once again to what Hembo had up there on the screen. In the last 5 seasons, the player in the NFL who has made the most money is Kirk Cousins. He has made more money than Aaron Rodgers. He has made more money than Russell Wilson. And very quickly, Dan, that could be the way this is going, right? One would assume if he does get franchise tagged again, that he is going to break the bank, assuming everything continues going the way it is, whether it winds up being in Dallas or not.
Yeah, absolutely. If he gets franchised and plays on the tag again this year, next year's tag would be $52 million. No chance they pay that. He would be a free agent. He would be gone.
Yeah, I mean, an unrestricted free agent quarterback of his caliber at his age. Look what teams are doing to try and trade for Deshaun Watson. So this is one to keep watching. It shouldn't work out badly for him either way. Meanwhile, from one quarterback who definitely will be with his team for the foreseeable future to another about whom we have some questions, Aaron Rodgers once again fell one game short of the Super Bowl. Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst yesterday made it clear he doesn't see Aaron going anywhere.
I don't think I have to do a lot of assuring him because I think obviously his play speaks for itself. But I will say this, we're really excited, not only for next year, but the years to come. I mean, he's playing at such a high level that he always has. You know, this year was a special year. It didn't finish like we wanted to finish, but I think everybody's, you know, purely, you know, motivated to get back. And I think, like I said, I don't think there's anything that we have to do. He's our quarterback and he's our leader.
Absolutely. He will be here for a long time. I know I said that before, but for a long time.
Okay, so that's what they said. Here's Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers for us extraordinarily well. And Rob, you and I talked about this on the radio about a week ago, that there were things Rodgers wanted to hear from the organization as he met with them before he went off for the offseason. What do we know about what he wants to hear and what, if anything, he has heard from the front office?
Yeah, Greeny, didn't it sound like that they were talking more to Aaron Rodgers yesterday than they were talking to us as reporters? Mm-hmm. That's sure the way it felt to me. I think they wanted to reinforce what they told Rodgers in their meetings with him last week before he left town. Now, Mike McCarthy, when he was the head coach here, always used to say, look, I'm talking to the locker room as much as I am talking to the media when I'm up there at the podium doing interviews. And they said and all the right things. Now the question is, what can they do? And that's where the contract comes in, Greeny. I still think that Rodgers wants and is looking for some assurances in terms of guaranteed money. Not necessarily more money, just money shifted around, which, as I told you on the radio, would help them from a salary cap standpoint, too.
And it would also allow him to control what happens going forward. Right now, as currently constituted, he has no control. If he plays badly next year and they want to move on, then they just cut cords with him. For a player of his caliber, it feels like he just wants to have control of the situation.
Well, that's exactly right. And by doing things with the contract, that would assure him. Right now, let's face it, he's a year-to-year quarterback because they can start to get out and save money. Now, if you're coming off 48 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, I think you're in a pretty good place of bargaining power. He really has a lot of leverage right now, as much leverage as a quarterback can have.
And so quickly, is there any way of knowing where it goes from here? Any sort of timetable on how this gets resolved and when?
Well, obviously, the new league year, which is the start of free agency in March, is clearly the line of demarcation here, because that's when you start to have to consider salary cap issues. And right now, he's got about $20 million in salary and bonus money. He's got a $6.8 million roster bonus due the third day of the league year, which is the third day after free agency starts. So obviously they would like to do something to help ease their salary cap burden. Before then, they're going to need to. They're about $25 to $30 million over what the projected cap is. They've got players like Aaron Jones, Corey Linsley that they want to re-sign. They want to be active in free agents. So free agency, as usual in this league, is the time where deals need to get restructured if they're going to pick up the benefits of the restructuring for this year's free agent class.
Now, Rob, really well done. And there is a piece that Rob has up right now about Jordan Love's future. It's on ESPN.com. Highly recommended because that plays strongly into this. Rob Domofsky, thank you as always. And let me finish it up with the crew here. We were talking about this earlier in the hour. And Marcus Spears, I had to interrupt you. I promised you that I would allow you a word on this again, and I always keep my promises. As you hear that and you sort of consider the circumstances for Rodgers, what's the number one thought on your mind?
My number one thought goes back to when we were talking about it earlier, and two things can be true. Like, man, I'm getting ready, all right? Aaron Rodgers can be great. He can be the league MVP, but we also can acknowledge that Aaron Rodgers didn't get it done. I keep hearing people scream about all of this help that the Green Bay Packers need. I'm trying to figure out what team was perfect in every area. What team, like, don't we always talk about these type of quarterbacks overcoming certain things? There was nothing about that Tampa Bay game that didn't tell me the Green Bay Packers couldn't win that game. Like, there was no significant difference in them being outmatched. And yes, Aaron Rodgers is into that equation and he lifts that level of play, but I'm looking at the games. I'm looking at them. I'm looking at the things that I'm hearing everybody talk about, and I'm like, oh, we need a number two wide receiver. Yes, every team is trying to upgrade every possible position in every single draft and every single offseason. But the bottom line is this. We can say Aaron Rodgers didn't get it done. It's fine for us to get on TV and say that, even though he had that type of season and all he did for the Green Bay Packers. Yes, get him help. I hear everybody screaming that. Get him more players. Get him offensive guys. Get him defensive guys. Get him whatever. The bottom line is, looking at the Tampa Bay game like I've done four or five times, we can also acknowledge that Aaron Rodgers didn't get it done in the NFC Championship when all of the chips were on the table and he needed to make a play and get in the end zone. So I just want to put that in there for everybody that's saying the other players on this team ain't good enough to get to a Super Bowl.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Swagoo. Hold on a second. So what we're going to say is Aaron Rodgers didn't get it done. Tom Brady threw three interceptions in the second half of that game, and Tampa Bay got it done. So what you're attributing to Aaron Rodgers not getting it done, Jeff. My point is, if you look at Tampa, the way, and I know Brown didn't play, but look at the way that offense is constructed, right? You had Evans, who was a true one when Brady got there. What'd they do? They went out and got Gronk, Brown, Godwin got healthy. They went out and got two running backs. Like, they built around him to make sure that what he was doing was at the utmost and gave him opportunities. And I heard Dan talk about, well, you had a 50-yard touchdown. Great. You also had drop. Right? Like, so I understand what everybody's saying, but if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're looking at how other teams are constructing their football teams and giving their guys not only contracts, but players they want to play with, that's what Aaron is looking for, right? Is it's when I'm not at my best, I still have an opportunity to win. He's proven he's good enough to win. You got to get other guys around him that can win.
Can I just say that all this is very interesting? But at the end of the day, to me, Graziano, this is as simple as this. Aaron Rodgers is an immortal whose team just traded up in the first round to draft a quarterback, and he doesn't like it. And I don't think it is any more complicated than that.
Sure.
And this is his chance to let them know it, and he's going to let them know it.
Sure, he's coming off an MVP season. And to Rob's point, he has some degree of leverage. Why not exercise it? If it works out for him, great. If it doesn't, he's no worse off than he was going into the season. So, yeah, I think you've heard Aaron Rodgers talk about wanting to finish his career there, how he fears that last year's draft means he might not be able to do that on his terms. So if there's a chance to do that, then I'm sure he wants to look into it.
This was a fun day. We will be back in Better Than Ever, same time, same place tomorrow. I will be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in exactly 60 seconds. And the fun continues here with First Take, next on ESPN.